Well, this morning I had to, y'all know I signed the old women out of the rest home. I've done it so many times I had to go get a neighbor to come co-sign for me this morning. I told somebody the other day, I said, I'm the only pastor that they've got, so I can preach the same sermon to them every day, and it's fresh and new to them. They don't remember it. They hide their own Easter eggs. That's how bad that is. I had somebody here a while back ask me how old he was. I said, I don't know, but their Social Security number is 1, 2, and 3. That's pretty bad, ain't it? Now that I got your attention and some of you are smiling and ain't smiled all morning, I've got to try to undo what I just did, don't I? I normally dig a pretty good hole for a start. I give the Holy Ghost a big job to do when I get up and get going. Vernon, thank you for having us. I feel honored, two homecomings in a row, but I noticed the crowd ain't as big as it was last year. That's the reason. We were somewhere the other day, and I got to thinking, I was the only one standing up here, and I remembered what the professor said to his class the first day of school. He said, we're all relatively intelligent in here. He said, I don't think any of us is a dummy. He said, if there's anybody thinks they're a dummy, would you stand up? Waited a while, one old boy stood up in the back. He said, son, do you think you're a dummy? He said, no, sir. I just didn't want you to feel lonely standing up by yourself. That's spiritual. You can go home and that'll bless you. So, in case I need somebody to stand up with me, I'll volunteer you. This is a sermon wrote down last night between 1 and 2 o'clock this morning. So if this is gommled up and bumbled up, it's what God said preach to you. I won't preach one of them others I practiced on. Us evangelists, we can practice on people. If that sermon don't cut it, we toss it. And we go somewhere else, but this one is yours, and I don't know why, but this is what God said, preach on this homecoming day. You got a Bible, the book of Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 18. Hebrews 13 and 18. Voice is about shot. We did Monday and Tuesday. We was over at Winchester doing a tent camp meeting outdoors, and the thing is, the tent they had set, it was full, and they had a concrete stage that was outside of the tent. So guess where they put the preacher when it was misting? I'm talking about first of the week. It was cold, and it was misting. I'm standing out there in the weather preaching to them people, and it was cold, so I had to stay moving. They're sitting in there freezing. I told them if they'd clap their hands, shout a while, it wouldn't have been that bad deal. But a lot of people, it's kind of cold. It was like the fellow was in, had been missing church a lot, had been in church a long time, and he bumped into the preacher. The preacher told him, he said, but I've been missing in church. He said, my family's been sick. And he said, it's just rained and rained and rained and rained and rained. The preacher said, it's dry at church. He said, that's another reason I ain't coming to your church. If you've heard them before, laugh anyway. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 18. 13 and 18. I'll find it in a minute. Drop the 1 off in front of the 8. 13 and 8. I can't read my own writing. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, and forever. Lord said, talk to you about the immutability of God. Immutable means that it's not capable of or susceptible to change. There is nothing that can alter God, who He is, His power, His attributes, nor His will. His counsel standeth sure. Somebody said, well, you know, why should we even pray? Because, number one, He requires it. And number two, there is no blessing that you'll ever get from God without asking for it. Amen, this I'll get through quicker. If you don't, supper be cold, we'll be eating Happy Meals at McDonald's. Nothing is all in God's will. We got a lot of people say, well, if it's the Lord's will, He'll do this. Could I tell you, God has willed for the good of His people everything necessary in their life. It is God's will for you to have health. It is God's will for you not to be hurting and bruised and wounded. He sent His Son into this world to bind up the broken hearts, set the captives free, those that were in chains, to buy us off of the slave market and loose the shackles of addictions and problems in our life, that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. He made every provision for us that we needed in this life to be successful in having spiritual health, peace, and joy and happiness in our life. Not everybody's going to be wealthy. Not everybody can drive a Bentley or a Mercedes or a Lexus. But I want to tell you something. There's a lot of people in this world that are rich, but they're not whole. 10 lepers came. This ain't my sermon. 10 lepers came down walking down the road one day, and they hollered and said, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. As 10 of them went, they were healed. One of them... He didn't have a priest to go to, Brother Vernon. He was a Gentile. He was a Samaritan. They talked, he was nothing but a dog. He didn't have a priest to go to. This one turned around and he went back to the only true priest that there is. Amen. And he fell at the feet of Jesus Christ. And Christ said, was they not all 10 of you made whole? Yes, sir. Or were not healed? We were healed of leprosy. But he told this man, you are made whole. You may be sick this morning, but you're whole in your spirit. You may be healthy, but you're not whole. You may have plenty of money this morning, but you're not have peace in your heart. You're not whole. But you may be broke as you could be. If there is a God living on the inside of you, and you are whole and complete in Him. He is all I need. He is all I need. Jesus is all that I need. Some people need other things, and other things affect the way that they live. Everything affects our happiness. You know, if mama burns the biscuits this morning, you ain't happy the rest of the day. You know, we're happy long this happened, long as that happens. If your happiness is resting in people with whom there is no help, your help must come from the Lord. Our help cometh from Him. My happiness is in Him. Whatever the world does is not going to alter the joy that I have in my heart, because it's not coming out of the world. Whatever the world and the economy does tomorrow may affect my billfold and may affect my paying my bills, but it's not going to affect the peace that I live with on the inside of my heart. The way that the world is going and all of the systems of religion systems are going, it may bother me at night, but it's not going to steal my victory and my joy, because it's not derived from what others do. It is simply anchored in and received from the throne room of God. Hallelujah. Only a look at that cross. Stay before the cross and you'll realize nothing in this world is able to satisfy the hunger and thirst in your life except the Lord Jesus Christ. The poet said, change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changeth not, abide with me. Drastic changes are apparent everywhere that we look. I got to thinking about this the other day, and I was born in Lynch, and me and the two older girls was. Naomi was born on the farm in Somerset, but grew up there. It was a thriving city. They had schools, they had hotel, they had a company store that had everything in there that you could think. Had a tailor shop, had a butcher shop, had groceries, they had furniture, They had a drugstore, soda shop, all in the company store. And when Dad worked enough that week, they give him scrip, which was a piece of paper, and you couldn't take that down to Walmart because we didn't have one. You had to take it to the company store and trade it for whatever goods was in there. So they got you either way they was going at it. But they had hotels, they had hospitals. Lynch was a booming place. We had a school that won national football championship about every year there for a long time because they hired the guys to work in the mines by the size of boys that they had. So you could say we recruited them. But Lynch was a thriving place. Drive up there today, the school shut down, the store is gone, the hotel was tore down, the hospital has now become a kind of a bed and breakfast deal. All of the houses we lived in were totally gone. Change is everywhere you see. We drive through communities and there's all kinds of houses that's got foreclosure notices upon the windows. People could not afford and pay for the house that they bought. Yet we moved down to Somerset when I was a young teenage boy, and you could go to Orange Truck Stop up on the hill about 11, 12 miles north of Somerset. You could put 50 cents worth of gas in your old truck. I was country when country wasn't cool. I drove a truck. Nobody else did. And you could put 50 cents worth of gas in, and you could certainly only had two. You know that strip down Somerset? We only had two restaurants, Jerry's and Finley's. We eat at Finley's, but we circled Jerry's. Better food. Better food. We could circle around there, you know, and wave at people, and all night long still had gas to go. Now you can take a bed, it'll take you at least $20 to do that if you're lucky. And then now you can go down that strip and there's eating joints everywhere. We are evidently, we have got to be the leading capital of the world for used car lots. We got one every block, some of them twice in a block. We got clunkers, we got them all. These are fine vehicles, these are low mileage. These were only driven by a little old lady. She drove a taxi cab, so you don't know what you're getting involved in. We've got eating places everywhere. It's changed. The economy has changed. Our schools have changed. Cost of living has changed. Cost you three times as much to buy what it used to buy. Our transportation has changed. Man, I got a truck burning talks to me. I just punch that button and say, I want to go down to certain street. And she says, Mr. Wooten, you turn here and you turn there. I thought one of these days she's going to get sick and tired of that and say, Hamp, would you go home? You don't need to even get out of the house. I got them things talk to you. I got me one of them GPSs where you can turn that thing off. You can just watch it on the screen. I don't want that woman fussing at me no more. We are so sophisticated. I was walking into Walmart the other day, and a little girl couldn't have been no more than 4 or 5 years old, had a cell phone on it, talking, jabbering up a storm, going into the Walmart. The changes that we have made in the technology of our world, it is so far advanced from what our mama and our daddy and even me as an individual had when we grew up as a kid. There has been all kinds of different styles and different fashions. My mama said, I blame mama for this, so you can't blame me for it. Mama told somebody one day, she said, I have watched the hemline of women's dresses go up and down like a window shade, but mine always stays the same. And I thought, fashions change. They come and they go. Everybody wants to look different. Man, these kids are wearing them pants hanging off the backside. Mama would have broke both of my legs because she wouldn't know where to hit me at if I'd have wore them things. I'm telling you, fashions change. People change. Styles change. Morals change. Never in the history of our world would you have ever dreamed, I'm talking about America, would you have ever dreamed that we would be battling the gay and lesbian agenda in the city of Berea,
Amen. Not Chicago, not Los Angeles, but it's getting down to our door and your door and my door. I'm telling you, you may call it an alternative lifestyle. God calls it sin. You may call it that people were born that way. I told somebody the other day, they said, I was born that way. I said, get born again. That'll change you. He said, old things are passed away and all things will become new. I don't care what you've got yourself into, and I don't care how long you've been there. The grace of God will change your life. It'll change your nature. It'll change your craving. It'll change your desire. Old things are passed away, and you will become a new creation in Christ Jesus. There is no excuse for people not living according to the standard of God's word.
Even religion has changed. Although popular religion is trying to keep pace with the change in times, religion, true religion also has been affected. Ritual substitutes for reality. Programs have replaced prayer. Form masquerades as fire. Human enthusiasm impersonates spiritual anointing. I called a friend of mine that took a big church after the pastor died here a while back, and I called him up and I said, you know, we bump into a lot of churches, got feuds and fights and stuff going on. He bumped into a little that himself. I said, I want to tell you something. We have watered down our preaching. We've watered down the anointing and the purpose and the desire of the anointing of the Holy Ghost in our services. We have watered down our praise and worship until it's no longer than an entertainment program. We have watered down the true word of God to such an extent that we don't have time to come and listen to it anymore. We're in and out. We can't have a week revival. We've got to have 3 days. We can't hold past 11 or 12 o'clock because people won't stay with you. We have birthed a group of people that are so shallow in their belief and their faith in God that they can fight one another and think that they're okay. I'm here to tell you, if we can get Christian people to live close enough to God to realize who they are in Him, you'll never have any more problem out of church division and feuds in your church. Satan can only use and work through somebody who is not committed and dedicated to the cause of Christ. And if he can get us to make our religious worship so shallow that it no longer feeds the spiritual man that he grows up, we're going to have to face with the opposition from within what we used to face is from without. Instead of the world becoming influenced by the church has become influenced by the world. Old landmarks has been removed. New monuments to modernism and liberalism has been erected. But I want to tell you, Christ's word and His demands and the approach to Him is changeless. It's immutable. It is impossible for that to change. There is no other way in for you to get to glory except through and by Jesus Christ. There is a new doctrine. It ain't all that new, been around a few years, kind of an all-inclusive doctrine, which simply means that all people are saved, no matter if you're Adolf Hitler, no matter if you're Mussolini, no matter who you are, everybody's saved, every murderer, every gangster, every mobster, everybody on the face of the earth is saved, and we're all going to get to go to God's heaven because God allowed man to fall into the depths of sin. Therefore, God's obligated to take him to heaven. That's being preached in Pentecostal circles. That's being preached over Christian television. Amen. Some preachers have been thrown off because they have preached against it. It's being preached around the world in our circles today. Carlton Pearson, maybe all of you remember, a black guy from out in Oklahoma who had a great, huge church, big church, had the Azusa Street things going. Was doing wonderful and great, and all of a sudden come out and got up and said this was the doctrine he believed. Everybody's saved, everybody's going to heaven, and he all of a sudden, Pastor, he's down to about 200 or 300 people. And I thought, what did he expect? If everybody's saved, you don't need a church. If everybody's saved, you don't need to have any place called a sanctuary.
If everybody's saved, I'm going to steal that next truck I get. I ain't making them payments no more. If everybody's saved, I'm going to get my gun, go down here to the first bank and hold it up. I ain't going to work a lick because everybody's going to go to heaven. I got news for you. Everybody is not going to heaven. But only those who have accepted the atonement price that Jesus Christ paid on that cross. Amen. I'm telling you, we're facing this everywhere. That's the reason I'm preaching it. We're facing it everywhere. I had a friend of mine over in Winchester told me, said, I had a very problem in my church. I said, what's the deal? He said, I had a lady in my church was trying to teach my kids in Sunday school that God loves you so much that it don't matter what you do, He's not going to send you to hell. I said, boy, He loved you enough that He gave the very best that He had. The Father loved you enough He gave the Son on that cross that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, if you want to trample the blood of Jesus Christ, you're going to die and go to hell. He made every provision for you. He loved you that much. Jesus Christ did not come into this world to make God love me. He come into this world to prove that God already cared for me, that God loved me from before I ever knew Him, before I ever sought Him. He sought me. He hunts you down, gives you an opportunity, paid the price, convicts your heart. If you fail to give your life to Him, you're going to end up in hell. Besides this all-inclusive doctrine, they decided we're going to hang something else beside of it. We're going to let everybody know that Jesus Christ is not the only way to God. He is not the only way. They thought they're talking about I'm talking about one God. They're talking about somebody else. But they're all jumping in the bandwagon and say He's not the only way to God. That you can hang the picture of Buddha, you can hang the picture of Muhammad, and you can hang the picture of Christ on the same wall. I got news for you, that is not the way that God's purpose and plan is. If your religious circles is teaching you that there is many ways for you to go to heaven, you are on the wrong page. If your religion's people are teaching you that there is other gods, the other ways that you can receive salvation, we'll accept the Muslim, we'll accept the Hindu, we'll accept the Buddhist because he's our brother and he's our sister. We were created by the same God, but the new birth only comes through and by the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. He said if you try to get to heaven through any other doctrine, any other belief, you're worse. You're going to be treated worse than a thief and a robber. You cannot buy, bombard, or steal your way into heaven. There is only one door that'll lead you to eternal life. Hallelujah. It cannot be done. These are doctrines right out of the pits of hell. The heathens tried to do the same thing many years ago. They had captured the Ark of the Covenant, which meant the presence of God. It represents a symbol of Israel's salvation. They had captured the ark, took it down, and stuck it in their temple with Dagon. And in the morning when they got up, they tried to hang the same. You know what I'm saying? They tried to make a different God. We've got a God. You got a God. It's all the same. Ain't no big deal. They stuck the Ark of the Covenant in there with Dagon. In the morning, that Ark of the Covenant was still planted firm where they had left it the night before. But Dagon had fallen on his face. When you compare the mercy in the grace of God, there is no other religions that will shape up. Other religions teach you about crime. Other religions teach you about hatred. Other religions teach you about murder and going out and killing somebody else. This is the only way that I know that teaches grace and teaches mercy and is brought about by love. He's not after anything you got. He wants to give you something. He's not after any contribution that you could ever dig up. If the whole world was yours to give, it would be small, too small a gift to ever be offered. But without any merit of my own, without any attraction in myself to draw Him, without any talent or ability that He would even only look my way, it was a mercy and the grace that came off of that cross that day and got a hold of a coal miner's son boy in Harlan County and said, you can be saved. I will give you eternal life. You can know God in the free pardon of your sin. No other religion ever offers grace free.
It was a huge veil. In the temple, it was 30 foot wide, 60 foot long, about 5.5 inches thick, embroidered in gold and purple. Would have took several team of mules to even tore it in any direction. It was a veil that represented to the children of Israel that they could not come into the presence of God because of their sin. The priest could only go in once a year after he had made atonement for himself and through several cleansing washings to purify himself. And then after that, they tied bells on the skirt of his garment and a rope around his leg in case he had sinned. Nobody else could go in there. If the bells quit ringing, they pulled him out. But only the priest could go in there once a year and beg pardon for sins. Our Lord and Savior that the Father sent into this world came down. And Pilate said, go ahead and crucify him. And the bloody footprints that led out of Pilate's judgment hall up to Calvary was made not by a sinner, not by a murderer, but the innocent Son of God. Those footprints was left there broad and long so that you wouldn't have your way falling or failing to follow the bloody footprints into the mercy seat of God. They brought him on that hill. They crucified him. They nailed him to a cross. And while he was there, they gambled for the robe that he wore. I'm here to tell you that all of a sudden, about the time they raised him up, darkness fell upon the earth, and the earth began to quake. And all of a sudden, that veil in that temple was rent from top to bottom. It was severed as if a sharp knife had ripped it down. It was something to signify that no longer would the priest have to come cowering in behind that huge mat and slipping into the presence of God. When he got through, he and nobody else could get in. He had to go out the same way. But I'm here to tell you, that veil become rent from top to bottom. It is the same symbolic rending of the soldier that drove the spear under the rib cage of my Lord. The cardiovascular sac that the fluid is around the heart, it went through that and pierced that heart, and blood and water gushed out. That blood that flowed from that cross, you ain't getting me. That blood that flowed from that cross was the thing that birthed me into the family of God. He was broken down the middle wall of petition. That Roman soldier was bloodthirsty. He said, I'll thrust a spear under his side. He did not know what he was doing, but he was fulfilling the prophecy that out of the root of David, a fountain shall be opened up for the salvation of my people. That fountain is still flowing. That blood is still rich. That blood is still potent. It has never lost its ability to save. Though millions of sinners and ungodly has been plunged, it is still filtered clean. There's a purity to it. Though it's washed millions of sins away, I'm here to tell you, what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not church membership, not a good attitude, not being a better person. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, I'm going to tell you, there is a fountain still filled with blood flowing from Emmanuel's veins. We're sinners. I don't care how deep in sin you've gone, how long you've been there, and how deep in it you've gone. You sinners, plunge beneath that flood and lose all other guilt and stain. Glory to God. Your mama may not think you can be saved. Your daddy may not think you can be saved. Your preacher may not think you can be saved. People in your town may think you're so addicted to drugs and alcohol that you're nothing but a pothead and a bum. I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ, grace, can do what human nature cannot do. What is hard to human nature is easy to grace and mercy.
Hallelujah! It ain't my sermon. That wasn't either. It was a little lady who had an issue of blood and she was dying. She'd spent all she had on doctor bills and rather grew worse. Her hope was gone. She was ostracized from her family. She couldn't go near a church. She didn't have a way to worship. You see, if they didn't worship in the temple, you didn't worship at all. She had no approach to the promises and the blessings of forgiveness and God at all because of the condition on the inside. Well, she fought her way through modern traditionalists that'll tell you you can't get to heaven except our way. She fought her way through those that say, if you don't join our church, you can't make it. She fought her way through those that say, if you ain't baptized in a certain name, you can't make it. She fought her way through all of those that believed that you had to go through a formality of ritual in order to be saved. She fought her way through all of that because somebody witnessed to her. Somebody testified to her. I wonder how many people have died hopelessly lost because no witness was ever given them. You are the only testimony that they got. The prophet asked the people one day, is the seed still in the barn? Are we just coming to church and allowing the seed to sit on the pews, or are we sowing it into the world? Our Christian life must be a 24 hours a day, 7 day a week experience. You can't lay that coat off when you walk out that door. You've got to wear it everywhere you go or you're not wearing it all. God is either God of all or He's no God at all to you. She pressed her way through all the opposition that there was, and she touched the Lord. Jesus said, who touched me? Peter said, Lord, about 150, no telling how many others have bumped against you. He said, oh, no, I feel like something went out. I'm making the story short. And so finally she was healed, and she came around in front of Jesus, and here was a woman that was unaccepted by her family. Here was a woman that the town people called her unclean. Here was a woman that had no hope of ever going into the temple to receive any blessings from God. She'd come before the Lord, and Jesus Christ said, I know you ain't got a husband. I know your kids don't love you. I know mom and daddy has forsaken you. I'm going to adopt you into my family. He looked that little trembling woman in the face and called her, said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. I was a lost kid headed to hell. It wasn't what my mom and dad lived. It wasn't what my grandma and my grandpa lived. I was lost because of me. I was lost because of what Adam did in that Garden of Eden. Glory to God. I walked down that aisle of that old church house and knelt at that altar, and I got up a child of the King. He adopted me into His family. They asked that blind man, is this man a sinner that healed you? He said, I don't know whether it's a sinner. I don't know whether it's a Democrat or Republican, and I could care less. The only thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. Glory to God. I don't care if you like me or you don't like me. I don't care if I'm your friend or I'm your enemy. As long as I'm adopted into the family of God. I don't care if you like my sermon. I wish you would. But if you don't, I've got to please the one that laid a call on my life. It is nothing about me. It is not about you. It is not about First Pentecostal. It's all about Him. He said, if I be lifted up, glory to God, I'll draw men unto me. The rending of the veil of our Lord and Savior makes a way for us to enter into the throne room. I'm telling you, the same approach has to be taken to get to heaven. For a fountain was opened up out of the root of David. Jesus said, I am not a way among many, but I am the way. I am not a truth that you can pick and choose what you want. I am the truth. I am not just any old haphazard life.
I am the life. Hallelujah. If we're going to get to heaven, we must believe that He is who He says He is, and that He alone is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The way to Christ is and forever will be the same, immutable. The approach to God is come before Him with empty hands, sincere heart, laying ourselves on the altar of sacrifice and die to self-will and self-ambitions and crown Him Lord of all. The altar is not a place for you to just shed crocodile tears. It's a place for you to crawl on there and die. We die to sin. We die to self. We die to self-will and self-ambitions. Until you get them crucified, you're no use to God. When you get self out of the way and crown Him Lord of all, my will becomes His will. His will becomes my will. Hallelujah. Even Christ in the Garden of Eden said, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. When you can get to the breaking point in your life to where you want God more than you want a job, more than you want friends, more than you want money, more than you want position, more than you want prestige, when you want Him more than you want anything else, you can say, Father, not my will, but thine be done. I live and I joy to do your will, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is the only approach to Him. For he that loves Him must, hallelujah, love with all of his heart. He that loses his life shall find it, and find it to be more abundantly filled with peace and with joy and with love. The permanence of Christ, our high priest. The permanence of the high priest. Let me tell you this. In the Old Testament, the high priest, when they was in the temple, they never could sit down because their job was never done. They were always offering sacrifices that could not wash away sins. All of the blood of bulls and goats. Could I tell you, there was over 250,000 lambs alone a year that was slaughtered on the altars but could not do what the sinless Son of God could do. This man offered one sacrifice. Those priests died and are still in the grave. This man died, rose again, sits at the right hand of the Father, has an eternal priesthood so that me and you can follow the bloody footprints and find our way through the throne of grace to that mercy seat where the Son of God sits and fall beneath that. It is no longer a judgment seat of wrath. He said it was a judgment of grace, a throne of grace where we can find forgiveness for our needs. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The permanence of Christ, our high priest, guarantees every promise made to us. Other priests are dead. Mine's alive forevermore. Ever kings, other kings are dead. Mine reigneth upon the throne. Other kings will never show back up again to the history of the world. But mine is going to come riding back on a white horse one day with all of the saints of God on the bells on the horse's bridle, on his thigh, all over that varmint. Is going to have King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yours may be Obama. Mine is none other than the Son of God who bought me and paid for me with His precious blood. The permanence of Christ, our high priest, guarantees every promise that He has made to us. There is no expiration date on the promises of God. Don't ever allow your doubt and materialism and the new modern world to put Christ in some other generation or in some other time frame and not relevant for the day that we live in now. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Don't tell me. My mama used to tell me miracles. Them old-time preachers, old-time holiness preachers used to tell about miracles. Pastor Gene Huff used to tell about miracles. I wanted to tell him, I said, well,
I guess the day of miracles is over with. No, when the same conditions are met, the same results will transpire. The problem with our church today is we are so overly blessed with a nice car and a nice house, and we got all kind of health insurance cards in our pocket that we don't need to trust God anymore. I'm here to tell you, He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. All that He was yesterday, He is today. All He is today, you can count on Him being tomorrow. He is immutable, unsusceptible to change. He is everything I need. Though the whole world around us is in like a sea in a fluctuating state, my feet is upon the rock, glory to God, that knows no mutation. Whatever His attributes was before the world was ever formed, they are the same today. Whatever He healed on the Sea of Galilee, He can do it in Laurel County this morning. I'm here to tell you, if He ever saved one old drunkard, He can get your boy and your girl and wash them whiter than snow. He has not changed. He is changeless, and He will always be the same. He said, "You're my people." Don't get too excited about this. You're my people. What was He talking about? Israel? No, I'm talking about you. I'm talking to you. Christ said, "You are my people. You the sheep of my pasture. I bought you off of the auction block when Satan had you up for the highest bidder. I unshackled your chain. You are not your own. You no longer can chart your own course. For the steps of a good man become ordered by the Lord." Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for my steps are ordered by the Lord. Though Satan rages, though the enemy howls, though all around me in the ocean around my problems are in a fluctuating state, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Jesus Christ said, He said that He rideth, He said He walketh upon the wings of the wind. He walketh on the wings of the wind. It is not that He runneth, it is not that He flieth. He said He walketh on the wings of the wind. Underneath His feet is all of the turmoil and all of the wind of opposition and all of the wind of trouble and sickness and disease and problems. They are under His feet. I am in Him. He has won my victory. I belong to Him. He said, "When you need me, I'll show up." He said, "Trust me, you are mine. When you need me, lean on me. I'll be there when you need me." We was doing a service, Camelsville University, some celebration they was having down there, wanted us to come and sing. It must have been Old Timers Day because the girls was invited. We was there and they asked one of the black brothers to pray. Never will forget this. Sis poked me and she wrote it down on a napkin. She said, "I can't forget this." He said, I like it when they start that way. Huh? Most of us says, "Gimme, gimme, gimme." We call it y'all call it a mourner's bench. Harlan County, it was a mourner's bench. You come and, your heart was broken for your kids that was lost. Words could not even become uttered out of your mouth, that you lay on that altar and nothing but groans would come out of you. We have not seen the burden of loss that deep in many of a year. Most churches we go to, some of them got back trouble because they get down and get up so fast, they get a catch in the back of it.
You get them down, they ain't down 2 seconds, pop like a popcorn. You can't even address God in that length of time. We was sitting back here when Bert Clendon was here one time. He said, somebody give him 15 minutes to preach. He said, I can't read my text in 15 minutes. I got more to say about God than that. You know what I mean? I thought about that. When you get down to, we don't have anybody praying and weeping their way. Tears used to stain the very altars of our churches for mama and daddies that were so worried about their boys dying and going to hell. We have so lukewarm this thing to where it's no longer that critical anymore. I want to tell you, hell is still hot and heaven's still real. And if that boy of yours misses it, they'll die and go to hell. That ought to cause you to plunge you into action. Amen. It ought to plunge you into action. There is everything that Christ was. Everything that He was in the Old Testament, He is in the New Testament. The miracle work in Christ, come on sis, the miracle work in Christ of yesterday is the miracle work in Christ of today. Some people want to put Him somewhere else, but He is right here. He is right now. He is a priest that is touchable, and He wants to touch you. It is not just that we can touch Him, but He is willing to touch you. When that prodigal son came home, there was not only a father that accepted him, but that father had been looking for him the whole time. I'm here to tell you that the Christ of yesterday, the Christ of today, will be tomorrow. If He ever performed a miracle yesterday, He can do it tonight. If He ever healed cancer once, He can do it again. If He ever healed heart trouble once, He can do it again. I was telling somebody the other night, Vernon, I said, God don't have a junkyard. He is a creator. He can create lungs and Gene Huff anytime He so fit. You know what I mean? He don't have there's no used parts. There's no reconditioned parts. He can create new ones. The breath of His Spirit breathed in life, and it created everything in there. He can do it again. I'm here to tell you, He's here tonight, right now, to meet your need. He's ready and waiting on you to rise up in faith and claim your miracle. If you'll approach Him with faith, He said, ask what you will, and it shall be done. Attributes of God, the nature of Christ, the approach to Christ, the way of Christ is always the same. The date on your calendar may change. The purpose of God's, the counsel stands sure. It's settled in the heavens. I may not count on nothing the government has but more taxes, but I can count on Him to always be what He says He'll be. No matter how fickle my friends prove to be. Humanity has disappointed every one of us. But He said, this man sticketh closer than a brother. This man, your family leave you. Your friends will leave you. Your job will play out. Your health will leave you. But this man sticketh right by you. The same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Would you stand? Everything we get from God is a step of faith. Salvation is by faith in the atoning work that's already been done. Healing is by faith on the stripes that was laid upon His back. Financial needs in our life being met, jobs being opened up for us, the blessings of God upon our life are all only acquired by faith. If you had $1 million to lay in the offering pan this morning, it would move your pastor. He'd shout a little bit, because none of us ever seen that. But could I tell you, it never phases God. What phases Him is faith in His word to believe He'll do what He said He'll do. If you can believe it, you can have it. You can stand on God's reputation. He'll do what He said He'll do. I don't know what you need this morning. but he's all that we need. Would you come? He's all
I need.
He's all I need. You need healing?
Jesus,
you got a boy needs saving? Got a girl lost? Need a job?
I need.
You got troubles? Got problems? He's the answer.
He's all
everything I need.
I need,
Lord.
He's
all I need. Sweet Jesus, you're all
I need.
Oh, you're all everything I need, Lord.
Yeah.